we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These words are found within the text of the Declaration of Independence, and you can read the entire document in person when an exhibit titled Declaration, Birth of America opens tomorrow at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. The centerpiece of the exhibit is a copy of the printed broadside version of the Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration is a printed page. It was printed on traditional letterpress that would be typeset with individual letters and then literally turned by hand to produce these copies.
That's David Houston, director of curatorial at Crystal Bridges. He gave a preview of the exhibit to local media yesterday prior to its public opening.
Approximately 200 copies were produced and sent out as a platform of information. As of the Second World War, we only knew where 16 of these were. As of recently, we know of where 26 of them are. Of those 26, there are two in private hands, of which this is one. And I have it kind of through the grapevine that there are possibly two more copies that have been found that will be authenticated and documented soon. And who knows in the coming years how many copies could be found. I mean, there are the classic stories of finding them in, you know, thrift stores, flea markets, and then very, very casual settings.
On the evening of July 4th, 1776, the text of the Declaration of Independence was typeset in John Dunlap's Philadelphia printing shop. 200 large-format broadside copies were printed and quickly distributed throughout the colonies. Though it's not the famous handwritten version of the Declaration and bears no signatures, the Dunlap broadside was the first published Declaration of Independence to be distributed to the colonies. The official handwritten document, which is on permanent view in the National Archives in Washington, D.C., was probably not signed until about August of 1776. In addition to the Declaration broadside, the exhibition includes a handwritten letter from King George III to his generals, a printed edition of the Virginia Bill of Rights, an American broadside description of the Battle of Bunker Hill, the Franklin printing of the Treaty of Paris, which ended hostilities between England and the United States, and two printed newspaper accounts from 1776.
There is a single line in this entire newspaper that reads, "This day, the Continental Congress declared the United Colonies free and independent states." What they had done was typeset their paper for the week, and they were ready to publish it when this event took place. So they made a little space on the back page to announce this momentous event in the history of the world in three lines.
Next to these three lines is a column of more news, including one man offering a $3 reward for his runaway slave, Ishmael. The exhibit is set up in what used to be part of the Wonderworld exhibition. The walls of the room that once housed the Nick Cave sound suit are now painted blue. One of the longer walls is decorated with a reproduction of what Houston says was one of the first, if not the first, use of the official seal of the United States with an eagle on it. On that same wall hangs a map indicating the land of the United States as opposed to the 13 colonies.
Historical documents are artifacts, and artifacts and art are closely related because they're either one of a kind or limited edition multiples. And in this case, we made the decision to include artifacts in our inaugural year because they enrich the content level of the art that we have and our education programming. And it was a rare opportunity to bring in seven documents, many of which are foundational of our country, of whose ideas still resonate very deeply within our country and the world today. And of course, we're presenting these as singular objects, just as we would any work of art. They come from another place in time. They have the mark of hand. They have the mark of time on them. And at the time, people didn't think about these things the way we do today. They were just ordinary ways to deliver information, handwritten letters, weekly newspapers, broadside documents. And it's only with the change of information delivery and time that they're valued. And if you think of what a museum does, it preserves things within a larger intellectual and educational context that would otherwise be lost, destroyed, or forgotten. And these belong to a single collector, and they're being preserved, but the way we're presenting them almost is as a series of holy documents with foundational ideas about America that really bolster the idea of the museum's inaugural year celebrating the spirit of America.
The room has very dim lighting in order to contribute to the continued preservation of the documents.
The papers of the past have a much lower acid content than papers today, so they're much more archival. The archival papers we use today are closer in proximity to 18th century papers than 21st century papers. Secondly, a lot of these documents have been stored or closed in books or cases, and they've not been exposed to light. So that really preserves a lot of documents. If you go back to the Middle Ages, a lot of the manuscripts we have are in such beautiful condition because they were bound in books and closed inside of leather bindings. So the documents do bear the element of time. You see discoloration, you see fragmentation in places.
Director of Curatorial David Houston says due care is taken with the documents, which are fragile. Houston says it's a rare opportunity for the public to see such old documents because oftentimes collectors don't like their materials to be exposed to light over long periods of time. Houston says it's very magnanimous of this donor to allow the museum to display these items from his personal collection for the public.
Well, for us to be able to showcase this kind of shows that our mission will be expanding. We had not had an in-depth discussion about objects and artifacts that are not works of art, but I think when you see the kind of authenticity of these documents, you can understand them as very important and unique items. And when you realize how fundamental they are to the reason that the museum exists for the history of American art, you see how they bolster both our mission, our content, and the educational potential here. You can read copies of the artifacts and get the ideas, but when you get the kind of patina of the original and have the intensity of the feeling of the uniqueness and the power of the word in the 18th century, that's kind of the remarkable moment. And then you can go out into the galleries and see portraits of some of the people involved in the colonial era in the making of this history, and then how that history is unfolded over time. The relationship between foundational documents and subsequent history is something that you can only see in an art museum in this way.
Declaration Birth of America will be on display tomorrow through September 17th. No special tickets are required, and there is no admission fee. Space is limited in the exhibition area, and admission is first come, first served. Museum officials say there may be a waiting period for admittance. More information is available at crystalbridges.org.